Father's Day. We began 7 weeks ago with Mother's Day talking about a forever family. And today we conclude this series talking about dads. Dads are the guys who are goofy. We are. We do goofy things. We say silly things. We embarrass our kids, many times on purpose. That's what we do. We're also the guys who teach you how to drive cars, to maybe go fishing or play an instrument or play a sport. Often, I know in the case of my dad, he was my confidant. You can tell your dad things you can't tell mom. And today we want to celebrate dads. But we live in a culture and a time when fatherhood, while it is valued, the government has an entire motive. They have an entire website dedicated to fatherhood. And they have scientific programs of how to make men better fathers. But we have a culture that has perverted and twisted the meaning of fatherhood, manhood, and as of recently, even gender. I don't know if you know who Jaden Smith is. Many of you may know his dad. His dad is Will Smith. Many would consider he's a manly man, right? He takes on aliens with a smirk. He's that kind of guy. Well, Jaden is his son, and Jaden is raised in that home and is also become very famous and a celebrity of his own right and making movies and music. And he even has his own line of clothes. And if you're not familiar with Jaden's clothes, one of the things that's unique and specific about his line of clothes is that he has gender-neutral articles of clothing. So he has tunics and skirts that can be worn by men or women. And he, along with other celebrities like Miley Cyrus, are part of what they call the gender fluidity movement. There is a generation of children being raised with an influx of idealism that men can be women, women can be men, or you could be whatever you want. You don't like being a girl? Be a cat. You don't like being a guy? Be a dog. Most guys are dogs, but that's another sermon. So today, what I would love to do is look at a couple of, I have five qualities that I want us to look at the Bible and that I believe are qualities that we as men in general and as fathers, we should strive towards. Quality number one, integrity. Now, in light of the scandals of Enron or most recently with St. Louis and the Houston Astros. If you don't know what I'm talking about, St. Louis Cardinals, a couple of the guys hacked into the Houston Astros database because one of their former employees transferred to that team and they knew his passwords. The Yankees wouldn't have done that. Just saying. We would have just spent the money and bought the information. So, no. Just throw that in there for my St. Louis fans. Integrity. It's a word that is used loosely in today's culture. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says this: "The one who lives with integrity is righteous." In the second half, applying to fatherhood, it says, "His children who come after him will be happy." Now, I could think of a number of examples, and I won't go through them, but you could probably think of a few of your own that of men who lacked integrity and what that meant to their family. Maybe you grew up in a home where that was the case. Maybe you didn't have a father. Or the men that were in your mother's life were not men of integrity. Or maybe you were like me and you had a father who had integrity and who shared with me what it was like to be a life that is righteous. And that I get to grow up and be happy. You know, we do a lot for our kids for their happiness. We buy them the latest toys. We take them to the latest shows. We get them the latest gadgets. We enroll them in every activity. We take them out to the yard and throw the ball. But there's nothing we could do to make them more happy than to have integrity, man. To be a man that our children could look to emulate, to strive towards. That's the kind of father that God wants. That's the biblical fatherhood. A man of integrity. Quality number two, a man who is generous. Matthew 7, 9 and 10 says this, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? The Bible is telling us here that we who are human know better. You see it in the news. Most recently, there was a case where a family was arrested because they found the remains of children underneath their shed because the parents did not care for their kids and they hid their sin. The opposite of what God is telling us is that God is the relationship of perversion and selfishness. Satan, from the very beginning, starting with Adam and Eve and then with Cain and Abel, was all about selfishness, about me. It's all about what I want. And what God is saying here in Matthew 7 is if you're a father, if you're a parent, and you have a child, you should care for them. You should be generous. That's godliness. Jesus Christ himself was the example of that. Our Heavenly Father was the example of that. He was so generous that he held nothing back, not even his own son. And Christ, our older brother, he held nothing back, and he used the example that he himself would die for our sake. Today's culture, we need men who are generous. Now, the old-fashioned way of being generous sometimes just meant on the birthdays or Christmas, you got the obligatory card or gift. But I believe that a true, godly, generous man is generous every day. And not with just the money or stuff. You may have heard this. The best way to spend in your time is with your children, because children relate time with love. So fathers, we who are still having our children at home, there's nothing we could do that would be more valuable to them than to be generous with our time. Now, you guys already know that, right? There's been studies that show it. Dads who hang out with their kids are better rounded, they're more socially acceptable, they do better in school. They excel in life. They have more healthier relationships. They're less likely to use drugs. But it's busy. It's busy. You have a generation where we are continually pushing ourselves. You know, when I grew up, I played baseball. And that was it. Now, I'm starting to sound like an old guy here, right? Because they're like, back in the old days. But we did baseball, and I did church. And the rest of the time was family. And we would have friends come over, and we were just talking about that this week. We had dinner with my mom, and we had a bunch of people over, and we were talking about how when we were younger, we would spend hours at the kitchen table. Hours. No TV. This is pre-cell phone days. So nobody was buzzing. Nobody was on their Twitter or Instagramming it or Facebooking it. We had actually FaceTime, real FaceTime, not that fake Apple iPhone stuff. Actual sit across the table FaceTime. And in those moments of laughter and silliness, there was instilled a spirit of generosity and love. Do you know that today there's actually a national campaign for today, on today's date? They call it Blackout Sunday. And they're challenging people to go home and turn their cell phones off while they eat dinner. Now, that's amazing to me that they have to have a national campaign to tell people to do that. People have spent good money making the commercial, thinking about this, advertising it. So why don't we honor that today? Now, dads, that means us too. And I'm as guilty as anybody. Because, I mean, I need my Candy Crush. Or my Words with Friends. Or, hey, I posted something today. Who's looked at it? We're all guilty of it. But generosity starts with our time. Because things will rust and fade away. You know, the Bible tells us that. It's amazing how as we as a society get older and we mature, we turn to the Bible and we see that the Bible had already told us things that we should have known. Jesus told us that. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth, but in heaven, where moth and rust will not touch them. And we should provide. Husbands, provide for our families. Fathers, provide for our children. Create a legacy, yes. But you could leave millions of dollars and leave a corrupt legacy. Or you could leave only pennies and leave a legacy that will last eternity. Be generous. One of the things that we should be generous with is our knowledge, which is quality number three. We should be teachers. Proverbs 22:6. Start children off in the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. One of the hardest things I have found is being a teacher at home. Now, dads, maybe you've seen this scenario. Maybe you've experienced this. You go out to do some project. Maybe you're going to build something. Maybe it's a fence. Maybe it's a birdhouse. Maybe it's just fixing the car. And you have one of those little helpers come running along with you, right? Daddy, let me help you. And they go and they get in your light when you're trying to see something, or in your way when you're trying to get something, and they start playing with the saw, and you're like, ah, and you get nervous. And pretty soon you're just like, why don't you go in and help your mother? And then time goes by, and then when they get older and you turn to them and you say, okay, it's time for you to go out and do that, they're like, I don't know how to do it. We should teach our children. Guys, if we have learned things in life, and hopefully we have, we need to teach them. Now, they may not acknowledge it or recognize it right now. Amen? You could tell them. That's going to end in mistake. There's a lot of times I let my son hurt himself. Not too bad. Because I told him, don't do that. But then I see him climbing one more time, jumping one more time, and you have to just stand back. Because sometimes experience is the only teacher. But hopefully, as they grow up, and it occurred for me about age 20, I was a slow learner. My dad and mom knew some things. My dad had some experience, some wisdom. One of the things that we can teach our children is about the Lord. If you've been walking with God for a while, you've probably had some experience, good and bad. We should share that with our children. We should teach them. It's not just about sit down and let's open the Word of God and we shall have Bible study. Because as soon as you pull that, what happens to the kids? They are zoned out. Do you know the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, it says as you get up and as you go along and as you're sitting and as you're eating, and if we get updated a little bit, you know what? If you're sitting around playing a video game or you're tossing the ball in the backyard, teach them about God. Teach them about God. Because here's the thing, kids have questions. Kids have questions. And they will seek answers. Question is, will they find them with you, or will they find them with their peers or in media? When they ask what it means to be a man, when they ask what it means to be godly, are they going to find that answer with you, or are they going to read about it on Facebook or find a meme on Instagram and define their own world that way? They will seek to find answers. It is our responsibility as godly men to provide them and teach them. And sometimes part of that teaching is quality number four, which means that we are a disciplinary. Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be willing party to their death. Now, I immediately thought of Bill Cosby. His famous quote, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. It's not what this verse is talking about. Discipline your children, for in that is hope. There is hope in discipline so that they are not literally hell-bent to death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. As our children grow older, as they eventually, hopefully, one day, prayerfully, leave the home, they will be out earning the wages, and not just with a job, but in their actions spiritually. And the wages of sin is death. The question is, do we teach our children and discipline them to avoid sin? Now, I give you two verses of warning, Colossians 3:21 and Ephesians 6:4. In those, Paul tells us that even when we are as fathers disciplining our children, we should not do this so that it embitters our children, because embittered children will become discouraged. There is nothing worse than watching a child, and when the parent, no matter how good they do, they bring home a B, well, it's not an A. They bring home an A, could have made an A plus. You got 3.9 GPA, you could have had a 4.0. We as parents, we have to discipline our children, yes. But it is a discipline in love. It is a discipline to train. It is a discipline to teach. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we have to make them listen. Our kids, many times, have our traits and qualities, both good and bad. And men and women, all of us who are adults, let me challenge you on this point. Sometimes we are incapable of our disciplining and our teaching our children and raising our children in righteous ways because we ourselves have not figured it out ourselves. So if you see that trait that's in our children that just really gets you, that wants to make you pull your hair out, examine yourself on that point. If you're like me, sometimes I find that I can't get that out of them because I haven't gotten it out of myself. I can't lead them and teach them how to avoid that because I haven't learned it myself. And it has to make me humble myself and go to my Father and ask for discipline. So do not embitter your children. Do not ask more of them than you would do yourself. But you know what? It's not all about teaching dads. You know what? One of the things that's a quality about godly manhood is that quality number five is that we need to be appreciative. Proverbs 19 says this, children are a heritage from the Lord, an offspring, a reward from them. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Heritage, reward, blessings. Sometimes we don't see our kids this way. Nothing really breaks my heart as much as it is when I hear parents talk about the rugrats, the little moochers, or the dad who has that calendar marking down days till they're 18 because I'm kicking them out. Really? They are a blessing and a reward. I've seen men take better care of their cars than they do their children. If we would see them and value them as much as we do that favorite thing in our life, how would our attitude towards them change? And how would the attitudes that they have towards us change? One thing about this, it says that they're like arrows in the hands of a warrior. There's a saying about arrows. Once it is loosed, it cannot be withdrawn. My daughter graduated from eighth grade this year, and we know that we are counting down the days to the day that she graduates high school. We cross our fingers. No. And one of the gifts that I gave her, and it was a gift as much to her as it was to us, was a small jar. And in the jar, I had counted out how many weeks it would be between the beginning of her freshman year to the week that she graduates. And I put that number of marbles in the jar. And on the front of it, I put Psalm 90:12, which says this, let us count our days, O Lord. Help us number them so that we may gain wisdom in our heart. And every week when school starts, I'm going to ask her to remove one of those marbles. Until one week, that jar will be empty. Now, I did that for two reasons. One, as a reminder to us as parents that we have a limited amount of time left to teach in our home. Now, we will always be parents, and I'm trusting and praying that as she grows older, that as adults, just like I do, I go to my mom, I go to my in-laws, I seek wisdom and teaching. But actually, that day-to-day in the house, sitting at the dinner table, I have only just a few precious weeks left. So it's a reminder to us for that. It's a reminder to her as well. That there is a covering and blessing that takes place while she's in my home. And while that will extend with her as she leaves, it's not the same. One day that arrow will be loosed and she will fly. And she can't be withdrawn. James 1:17 says this, every good gift is from God, and that includes our children. Men, as we draw our bows and launch our arrows, what are we launching? What impact will it have? We want godly children. We want a godly world. It starts with us. Those five qualities, integrity, generosity, teaching, disciplinary, and being appreciative. On Father's Day, if we can strive to do that, and every day, I believe we will raise a generation that can turn the culture, that can turn the tide, will stand up and say no when it's appropriate, and say yes to the right things. Well, I hate when Father's Day, we always seem to have instructions. Mother's Day is just celebrating. So dads, I want to end on a couple of light notes. Number one, the women all got flowers on Mother's Day, and we traditionally do that. And this year I decided men don't get anything on Father's Day. But I didn't think we want carnations. So I have, we have purchased some magnets. This is, you guys know the fish? It's called an ichthys. I won't tell you what, it's a fancy word for saying fish, okay? It's an ichthys. It has names of Jesus on it. And we have some back at the Connections. If you are a dad or you're just a guy here today, you want to decorate your car, because we like decorating our car, right? It's a magnet, so you put it on there. You want to put it on your toolbox, put it on your lawnmower, whatever you want to put it on. If you don't drive real well, don't put it on there. We want good witnesses. But guys, we have this small gift for you today. And then lastly, I want to leave you with kind of a paraphrase quote. There's a pair of 20th century social philosophers. Many of you may know them. Their names are Ted Theodore Logan and Bill S. Preston. I paraphrase this. In your bodacious adventure as a father, always remember to be excellent to each other. Because our Heavenly Father is certainly excellent to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for your good gifts and for your example of fatherhood. Would you love us even when we're not lovable? You care for us no matter what. You provide for us. You gave us the example of integrity, of generosity. And God, you appreciate us so much that you said that even if we had you had 99 and one was astray, you would go and find the one. You value us. You share your love with us. Heavenly Father, help us to emulate you, to be like you, so that one day our children may raise up and call you Father as well. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you stand, we're going to close out. I'm sure a lot of you have memories of taking a walk with your dad, holding hands with him. Well, we're going to sing about taking just a closer walk with our Heavenly Father this morning. Yeah.